Hey, I'm Jim Richards. I can't wait to share the program with you today. You know something? The cross of Christ is the power of God. And people say that, people know that, people quote that, but the honest truth is not many people are really experiencing that. Not many people know how to tap into what happened at the cross in a way that really makes any difference in real life. And I'll tell you, this series, you know, we're talking to you about accessing and experiencing the power of the cross. And today we're going to be talking about the offense of the cross. You're going to grab some stuff today that's going to help you in the practical areas of your life, experiencing the grace of God, experiencing the power of God, experiencing the life of God. As a matter of fact, until you grasp what happened at the cross and you know how to commune with Christ at the cross, you really can't experience resurrection power or the grace of God. Call all your friends, put this on Facebook. I'll be back in a minute. You know, we're talking about the offense of the cross, and Paul talked about this. You know, the thing is so amazing is that in reality, even among Christians, the cross is really an offense. And you say, well, no, man, I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for what happened at the cross. But when you begin talking about how this applies to real life, what happened at the cross, how the power of God is manifest at the cross, and then you start talking to somebody who's trying to earn their righteousness, they're trying to work hard to get God to love them, they're coming from a works righteousness point of view, and you start talking to that person about what happened at the cross, what Jesus really accomplished, I'm telling you, they're going to be offended. They're going to be upset because we trust in our ability. We trust in our strength. We trust in our earned righteousness more than we trust in the righteousness of God. But even more than that, you have to realize that the cross is the focal point of all eternity. The cross is the place where the power of God is manifest. And when I talk about the power of God, I'm talking about the power to overcome sin. I'm talking about the resurrection power of Jesus for healing, for health, for working miracles, for ministering to other people, for peace, prosperity. All of these things that are ours in the kingdom of God are ours at the cross. But the reality of it is the cross has been compromised, and through tradition, we have made the Word of God of no effect. I mean, it's just amazing whenever you really read what the Bible says about the cross and what the cross has become historically and how we understand and relate to the cross of Christ. And I'm telling you, before this series is over, and actually this series is going to be a part of a heart physics program, because I like from time to time to let you guys know what heart physics is about, get this out here to you at no charge so that you can benefit from this. But I'm telling you something, at the cross of Christ is the place where we meet with Jesus, where we commune with Him. And to commune means to share something in common. And when we share the cross in common with Jesus, then in real life and in real time and in real circumstances, we experience death to the curse of the law. We experience death to that which plagues us and hurts us. And we experience resurrection life in experiencing the power of God. And really, that's what grace is all about. You know, sometimes we think, well, we get some goofy definitions of grace. But grace always has to do with power. Grace is always a manifestation of the power of God to do something that we can't do ourselves. And it comes from our heart, but it comes specifically with our beliefs and our connection to the cross of Christ. Now, I want you to realize something. Paul was talking in the book of Corinthians, the second chapter, and he says something so incredible. He says that if the rulers of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And I think I mentioned this last week, but I want you to realize he's not saying that if the rulers of this world had known that he was the Christ, they wouldn't have crucified him. He was saying if they had known that this is the place where the power of God becomes available and accessible to the world, they wouldn't have crucified him. Because by crucifying him through his death, burial, and ultimately through his resurrection, then the power power that worked in Jesus becomes available to every believer in the entire world. The same power that raised Christ from the dead works in us to raise us up in daily life. The same power that got the sick healed works in us to get the sick healed. The same power and the same anointing. We're in Him. We share in His anointing. We share in all that He has and all that He is. And so I want you to realize something. The cross is that place where we lay down all of our strengths. We lay down everything that we are outside of Christ, or literally outside of the cross of Christ, and we take on everything that was obtained through the resurrection of Jesus. And before this series is over, you're gonna know how to experience the power of the cross in every single situation in life. Now, I need to give you a little bit of historical stuff. You know, in the beginning, as the church began to grow, and I say in the beginning of the church age, when the church began to grow, for a long time, the church was basically following the apostles' doctrine, and the church was growing. It was meeting in homes, and there really weren't full-time preachers, unless they were doing like Paul, living off of offerings and working like missionaries and this sort of thing. But eventually, you know that the church became the state church of Rome. And we know that originally Constantine basically organized the church. And Constantine had this idea that if his armies would march under the cross, that they couldn't be defeated. So the concept of the cross immediately changes from having to do with the finished work of Jesus, and now it starts becoming a mystical power, a mystical symbol of power. Now I want you to realize the early church fathers, when they came into the church, many of whom were not born again, they created doctrine. And the doctrine that they created really was not based on what the Bible taught. You know, the early apostles, they taught from the Old Testament scriptures. It amazes me, people that have no value for the Old Testament. You know, many of your people that teach grace, they have such a little understanding of the Old Testament. They can't teach grace from the Old Testament because they think that it's all law. Everything the early church taught was taught from the Old Testament. But they saw Christ in all of the sacrifices. They knew that every holy day, they knew that every ceremony portrayed something about what we had in Jesus. And they sought God and they understood how to see Christ in every word of God that was taught. They knew that we were delivered from all of the curses, and they knew that all of that happened at the cross, because at the cross, Jesus became our sin. At the cross, He took all of the curse of the law that we would have deserved. He was alienated from God. He died. He took the ultimate death. He went to Hades, the Bible says, and then God raised Him up in righteousness. And the resurrection power that raised Him up, conquering every sin that I've ever committed, conquering every stronghold that's ever dominated my life, that was conquered when Jesus came up out of the grave. And because I am in Him, all of those battles are won for me. Now, in time, because there was not belief in the cross, the concept of repentance, which is a healthy concept that has to do with change in your mind, was twisted into the concept of penance, where you pay, you sacrifice to get forgiveness. I want you to know that if you think you have to sacrifice to get forgiveness, you are rejecting the cross. You have the offense of the cross on you because you're saying, no, the cross is not sufficient. Jesus dying for me has nothing to do with this sin I've committed or these things that I have done wrong. So repentance was perverted into penance. And even today, when you talk to some people about repentance, they'll say, well, that's not new covenant. Let me tell you something. We're on a constant journey of renewing our mind. You can't renew your mind without repentance. But the problem is, when you hear the word repentance, you think penance, you think suffering, you think agony, and you think pain. Why? Because you don't grasp what the cross was about. You don't grasp that the price was paid at the cross, and repentance has nothing to do with suffering. It has nothing to do with paying the price for your sin. The same thing happened with, Augustine was the one who perverted the word. Excuse me, I'm just having a, my mind is going to so many places, and this is really, really hard. It's really, really hard to cover it all in one program. I'm wanting to cover too much. But you see, we have this idea that God will purge us, that God uses pain, that God uses suffering as a way to teach us. But the truth is, the Bible tells us that when God teaches us, He teaches us as the child that He favors. Well, it was Augustine that basically said, no, we can't see that way. We need to realize that the discipline of the Lord is whenever He beats us, punishes us, takes us through hard things so that we learn from these things. I want to tell you, none of that's in the Bible. None of that is in the New Testament. None of that is how God teaches us. And so, as a result, some people say, well, see, conviction's not in the New Testament. Well, all conviction is God convincing you of what Jesus has done at the cross. All conviction is God convincing you that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you're delivered from the curse of the law. Through the resurrection of Jesus, all the promises of God are yours. That Satan's been defeated. See, it's an amazing, subtle way that we have compromised the cross of Christ, and that we no longer really look to the cross. We look to how religion has defined it. I'll tell you, there's confusion today, much confusion. There's as much confusion among those who preach grace as there is among those who are legalists about the cross of Christ. And those who are legalists, they want to earn everything that Jesus accomplished at the cross. Those who teach grace, because they're confused about the meanings, that they accept the cultural religious meanings and definitions of the word, that they reject what happened at the cross ignorantly, not knowing it. But the truth is, we've got to get past how religion has defined everything. You know, the whole concept of purgatory, for example. The word purgatory comes from the word purging. And so there is this idea that God, that our sins have to be purged. And so there is that concept of suffering. God uses suffering. Now, where did all this stuff come from? You see, most of the early church fathers, number one, they didn't know anything about the Old Testament. They had never read about the offerings. They had never read about the sacrifices. They had never read these things. They were totally ignorant of how God's portrayed Christ through all of these things. And so when they came into the church, rather than looking to God's confirmed, proven word to say, this is how we understand what Jesus is bringing us, instead, they brought in their own ideas. Now, the most common idea or philosophical idea that was brought into the church is asceticism. Asceticism is the idea that all material things are wrong or evil. So to prosper, to want anything, to desire to be even healthy would really be viewed as sin, because if you're sick, God's trying to teach you something. See, all of that came from cult beliefs that were incorporated into the church, and because we accept those things, we create doctrines to convince ourselves that it's really in the Bible, when it really, really is not in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says this in verse 1. He says, "I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know, this was a cornerstone scripture as I began to pursue my calling. And I knew from this scripture that I needed to focus in on the cross of Christ. But in those early days, I went to a little denominational church, and it was a great church, and boy, the people were a blessing there. They believed in getting people saved. They believed in the Word of God. I mean, it was a solid little church. And I remember the pastor and I talking about this passage of scripture, and him basically saying that that what this means is you just preach a salvation message. And he said, that's why I preach a salvation message every single Sunday. Because I was asking, it's like, look, everybody comes almost is saved. You're talking to people who are saved about salvation. Why are you doing that? He was saying, because I'm, you know, and he took me to this passage of scripture. And he said, because I'm preaching the cross of Christ. And he said, that's what I'm going to preach every Sunday, you know, for as long as I live. Well, you know what? Salvation includes everything that is ours in the kingdom of God. Salvation includes healing, prosperity, peace, joy, righteousness, sanctification, joy, all of these things. Everything that's included in kingdom living is included in salvation. And so every aspect of what we have it because of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection. But the problem is, we really don't connect the death, burial, and resurrection to winning these daily battles. And so when we're facing something, here's a really interesting thing. The Bible says that by His stripes we are healed. And so, you know, you'll have people that, you know, look at the stripes that the Roman soldiers put on Jesus' back as the source of healing. Those, what the Roman soldiers did to Jesus has nothing to do with the source of our healing. The reality of it is that word stripes in both the Greek New Testament and the Hebrew Old Testament is the word bruised. And in Isaiah 53, it tells us very clearly that God bruised Jesus with the iniquity of us all. It wasn't the bruising or the stripes of those Roman soldiers. See, that has nothing really to do with the cross. That's just religious tradition. It was the fact that God Himself bruised Jesus with all of our iniquity, and then ultimately He had to face the curse of the law for our sins, for our iniquity, for our transgressions. And so when we want to seek physical healing, we've got so many religious things tied up in it. You know, we're looking for somebody with a special anointing to come and get us healed. We're looking, you know, we're looking for somebody to give us a word of prophecy. I don't know what all we're looking for, but I hear people all the time talking about all these crazy things. But we need to know how do I take this sickness and go to the cross of Christ and commune with Jesus? And that time together, and our communing together, leave that sickness there on the cross and experience resurrection life and walk away healed, or at least walk away in the process of being healed. So, you see, Paul was saying, I'm not going to preach anything except the cross of Christ, because really, that's all there is. That's the only source that we have for life, for power, for grace, for righteousness, for everything that God's offering. Verse 3, he says, I was with you in much fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Now, I got to tell you, I used to read this verse all the time and say, okay, if I'm preaching the cross, there should be a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. And I got to tell you, I went through a lot of struggles sorting out, you know, what that meant. I want you to understand, I don't have a lot of time to go into this, but I want you to realize that Jesus' ministry in the gospel was to the lost. Those were not believers. They weren't saved. Nobody got saved until after the resurrection. And all healing ministry changed after the resurrection. And you see in the scriptures, you see that Paul placed an emphasis more on people believing the truth in their own heart to experience the healing power of God. And I'm not against laying on of hands at all, because we should lay hands on one another. The Bible tells us that when somebody calls for an elder of the church to lay hands on them, we should go pray the prayer of faith over them. But I don't know that we need to necessarily be doing it the way we're doing it, where we're just chasing people down saying, based on my anointing, I'm going to get you healed. That just does not way out scripturally for how the believer is supposed to access the power of God. And besides that, Paul says that this demonstration of spirit and power wasn't because of his personal anointing. It wasn't because of something special about him. He said it was because he preached the cross. In other words, they heard the message of the cross. They believed and accessed the power of the cross of Christ. And see, again, that's one of those offense points. People want to convince others that they have a special anointing. People want to convince others that they'll get you healed because of who they are and because they're so unique and special. Well, no, I got news for you. We're all special to God. Nobody's more anointed than you are if you're a believer. And we all go to the same cross to experience the life and power of God. And I'll tell you, when I used to do crusades where I'd go to the jungles and I would preach to people who were not believers, I'd do it just like Jesus did when he walked planet Earth. I'm telling you, blind eyes were open, cripples would walk, deaf people would hear, lepers were cleansed, cancers would fall off of people. I've seen every miracle in the New Testament, and most of them I've seen dozens of times, some of them maybe even hundreds of times. But it happened because of preaching what happened at the cross. You know, one of the most revolutionary series I have is called From the 3 Days That Changed the World, From the Cross to the Throne. I'm going to tell you something. We have got to stop preaching religious tradition. And while we need to look at what Jesus accomplished when he walked planet Earth, we need to stop using that as the focal point of our faith, and we need to learn how to access the power of the cross. I'm not just going to tell you what you ought to do. I'm telling you, in this series, I'm going to walk you through how to access the power of the cross in every situation that you're facing, so you can always win, so you can always come out on top, so you can always come out walking in the promise of God. But Paul says, the reason I'm doing this is I want your faith. He said, but I didn't preach in human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul said, look, I don't want you looking to me, and I don't want you to think I know something about God that you don't know. I don't want you to think I'm more anointed than you are. I don't want you to think there's anything special about me, and I don't want you to think there's any secret formulas that you've got to have. What you need to know is what happened at the cross, at the death, at the resurrection, and when Jesus entered into heaven and received the inheritance. That's where we have to go. And Paul says in verse 6, he says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Then he says something here is crucial in verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And he's talking about a revelation that God is willing to bring to you if you open your heart about the cross of Christ. I'm telling you something, I have spent hours and hours and probably weeks and weeks and months meditating on the cross of Christ, seeing and experiencing myself right there when Jesus was crucified so that I could connect to it in a way that was beyond just having this information in my mind. You know, God is not going to chastise you and beat you up. That was the word I was trying to get in my mind a while ago. The word chastise means to child train. It doesn't mean to whip. It doesn't mean to punish. It doesn't mean to scourge. It means to train you like his favorite child. Well, I got news for you. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't even entered into your heart what God has for you. But if you're willing to give up all of these religious traditions and go to the place of the cross, then God will teach you like his favorite child. God will gently, by the Holy Spirit, convict or convince you of all that Jesus accomplished. And then you'll repent. You'll change your thinking. You'll change the way you think about yourself because you'll see yourself having died and raised up with Christ. You'll see Jesus having obtained the inheritance for you. You'll see yourself in him. You'll see yourself seated at the right hand of God. Listen, there's so many great things I'm going to share with you in this series. Just can't wait to see you every single week. Listen, I'm going to be back in just a few minutes with our mentoring moment. Don't go away because this is where we start getting down to practical application. And if you don't have practical application, then the truth doesn't do you any good at all. I know you're really trying to absorb all of this and maybe even trying to sort out some of your beliefs already. And next week I'm going to give you something really, really practical about sorting out your beliefs and how to take everything back to the cross so that you're really just, so that you're not wrapped up in goofy religious tradition, you know, all that stuff. Listen, here's what I want you to do. And this is really just a simple exercise. I want you to get somewhere quiet where you're not going to be disturbed, and I want you to relax. Now, a lot of people say, well, Jim, why you got to relax to do this? I'll tell you why. Because we know for a fact that when you're stressed and when you're full of tension, that literally your brain blocks the signals that come from your heart. And since Jesus speaks to you in your heart, if you don't get relaxed, the truth is you're just going to have a mind experience. And this is something I began doing back in the early days as a new believer. I used to lay in bed at night as I'd start getting sleepy, and I'd do it in the mornings when I first woke up because I was, you know, you're already in a meditative type state. I would just imagine myself at the cross of Christ, watching what happened. I would imagine myself seeing Jesus die, and I would imagine seeing him raised from the dead. And I would just, as I would watch that, I would just look in my mind's eye and prayerfully, and it's like, what do I see here? Father, what do I need to see that applies to me? How does this make any difference in my life? And this may seem foolish, it may seem simplistic, but I want to encourage you to do that and just take your time. Don't get into a rush, and you know, don't force yourself either. And then just anything that comes to you, afterwards, write it all down and just begin to pray for understanding, because eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, hasn't even entered into your heart yet, but God's going to show you.